Hey friends, it's Natasha Crane. On today's show, we're going to talk about something that Christian parents can get very fired up about, and that's the question of what's the best educational choice for your child. There are Christians who feel adamant that kids should be in public school, some who feel kids should be homeschooled if at all possible, and some who think that Christian private school is that perfect middle ground. I'm going to tell you right up front in the first 1 minute of this show what my answer is. Here it is. I have no idea what the best educational choice is for your child, and I am really skeptical of anyone who thinks an educational choice is that black and white. There are all kinds of factors that go into decisions like this, and they just don't look the same or even nearly the same for every family. So with that in mind, there's no way I can do a show where I fully break down every single consideration. There are just too many unique circumstances out there. My goal instead with this episode is to simply share with you some of my experiences to try to draw out some generalizations that I'm hoping will be helpful to you as you consider your own options. Now, more specifically, I'm going to talk about considerations with Christian private school and homeschool. And the reason for my timing with this episode right now, you might be wondering why talk about this in the middle of the year. And the reason for this is that private schools are opening registration right now, or at least many of them are. If they're not doing it just yet, they're going to be doing it very soon in March, and that's going to be for the fall. So I've seen a lot of people talking online lately about possibly going to private school, considering homeschool. What's the difference? What are the benefits? What are the considerations that are involved if you're going to make that transition? And so that's why I wanted to do this show in particular on comparing private school and homeschool. What I'm not going to do in this particular episode is analyze public school. So there's a lot to say just with private school and homeschool, and I want to avoid making this too long. So we're going to stay focused on those two choices specifically. But I will speak to public school a little bit as it relates to what I have to say about private school and homeschool. I'm just not going to go into detail for now on it. I know that a lot of people did ask me to speak to public school considerations, things like, what are the concerns that parents should have? How do you stay engaged if your kids are in public school? Can our kids be salt and light in that kind of system? I really do want to touch on those things, and I'm going to do an episode on that in the future. I haven't forgotten you if you're one of the people who wanted to hear something on that, but I just wanted to stay focused for this particular episode. So with all of that said, let me give you a little bit of context for what we've been doing for school with our kids so you know where I'm coming from, because like I said, this is based on my own experiences. We have 12-year-old boy-girl twins. They are in sixth grade this year, and we also have a 10-year-old girl who is in fourth grade. All of my kids have been in Christian private school for all the years until now, until this fall. So this past fall, we started them in homeschool. And interestingly enough, this was not a pandemic decision. This wasn't something that we did because of COVID. It just so happened that we decided before COVID that for middle school in particular, we wanted to homeschool our twins, that we wanted to pour into them both academically and spiritually during this time. So we were going to do the homeschool thing for middle school. Then the pandemic hit, and we started thinking about our soon to be fourth grader. And we thought, you know, we're already doing homeschool for the twins. So with all the uncertainty around what school is going to look like this year, let's bring her home too. So we have all three kids now in homeschool for that reason. What that means is that I have several years of experience with Christian private school, at least at the elementary level, and a lot of exposure to the middle school level because ours is a K-8 school. And I have a few months of experience with homeschool. So I barely know what I'm doing as a homeschooler, and I will just say that right up front. In fact, a friend of mine commented on my Facebook post about this episode when I was asking for ideas on what people wanted to hear about. She said she didn't think I should be giving homeschool advice until I've been into it for about 3 years. And I kind of laughed at that because I totally agree. I'm not in a position to tell anyone best practices for homeschool. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, for example, people on Facebook that I talk about the how-tos of homeschool. You know, what curriculum should we use and how do you get started? I'm really not the right person to do that. I could give some basic tips, but there are so many more experienced homeschoolers out there who are so helpful. All kinds of bloggers and people on social media that you can follow if you just search online for them. But what I can talk about is what it's like to transition to homeschool from a traditional school setting, whether that's public or private, and the unique benefits and challenges of that. Since I know that more people than ever are considering homeschool as a transition, I hope that that perspective will be helpful. And there are many, many homeschoolers out there who have been homeschooling since the very beginning of their school career. I don't see as many people talking about what it's like to make a transition sort of midway. And because that's the position that so many people are in right now, as they're starting to process these kinds of options more than maybe they ever have before, given the pandemic and everything else that's going on, I think that this is something that needs to be talked about more. So the episode itself is going to be sort of in two different parts. I'm going to spend the first part talking about private school and the second part talking about homeschool. If you absolutely have zero interest in private school, you don't care about it generally speaking, you don't care about it for your friends, you don't care about it for family members, you're not considering it, then feel free to skip ahead to the homeschool part. But if you are at least mildly interested in it, I think that it'll be helpful just to give some perspective of what private schools have to offer, what to expect and what not to expect. So, private schools. Here's what you need to understand. Christian schools vary widely, both spiritually and academically. So you really, really need to do your homework to understand exactly what you're considering. I think the best way to think about this is you shouldn't see it like you're considering quote-unquote Christian school, because that alone means almost nothing. It really varies tremendously. So you have to understand what specifically you would be getting at the school that you're considering. So let's talk about those factors a little bit, the spiritual and then the academic. I'm going to spend a lot more time on the spiritual since I think that's what more people are interested in here. So what does it even mean to be a Christian school? Well, it can mean a lot of things, and there's a big spectrum, like I said. At one end, it can be just basically a label, and there's hardly anything, quote-unquote, Christian that's going on there. And at the other end, you could have a Christian school that's absolutely fantastic, that is biblically sound, that incorporates a biblical worldview into everything, that trains their teachers beautifully, that just weaves us into the very fabric of everyday life at the school. That is unusual in my experience, but schools can range widely in between those two ends of the spectrum. So you have to know what you're getting. You've got to go visit a school. Don't just pick a local school if you have more than one to choose from and say, oh, okay, well, let's think about Christian school, because they are just too different. So what are some things that you might expect to see at a Christian school? What makes a Christian school different? Well, the first thing is prayer. At public schools, you're not going to have prayer for the most part, unless it's a very unusual school. But at our school, for example, that we were at, you would have morning prayer. So the whole school would line up in the morning in the different grade lines and pray together, sing some songs, have announcements, those kinds of things. And then throughout the day, you would have prayer in the classroom. And you might ask, okay, well, what exactly does that look like? It depends not just on the school, but it depends a lot on the teachers. It varies widely from teacher to teacher. We had some teachers who rarely would pray in the classroom at all. Some teachers who would pray maybe before lunch when all the kids were going out, kind of a mealtime prayer. And then we had teachers who were just amazing about praying throughout the day for all kinds of different reasons. It's really up to the teacher. There's not sort of this structure to it, at least at our school, and in talking to people from other schools, I think this is generally the case. So much of it depends on the teacher. And what you have to understand is that teachers themselves will vary in their own spiritual understanding and maturity. So it's spiritual maturity. So we had a teacher, for example, and I'll say this because that teacher is no longer at our school, but there one of our teachers came to me and kind of told me in private that she appreciated some of the training that I gave at our school. I did some apologetics training for the teachers, and she appreciated it because she was sort of a new Christian and she really didn't have a deep understanding of her faith yet. And this was one of the teachers that my daughter had said, you know, well, we're not really like doing anything in class when it comes to prayer and things like that. And that explained why, because that teacher was just kind of starting out on her own walk as a Christian. And so that makes total sense. She didn't really know how to weave these kinds of things into the classroom experience. And then we had other teachers who were very, very strong, deep Christians who would weave in their faith into everything in the classroom. So it just really depends on the teacher, starting with prayer and really going through to everything else we're going to talk about. The second thing is you'll expect to see some kind of Bible class. So here's the thing to understand about Bible class. You cannot expect that the Bible class is going to give your kids the biblical worldview they're hoping they'll have. Please, please don't look at Christian schools with this expectation. In all likelihood, what they learn in their Bible class is probably going to be a step up from Sunday school type of teaching. Maybe a step up, probably not two or three steps up. So we saw a lot of worksheets, we saw projects, things like that. Now, high school, I just want to mention there are some Christian high schools that get much deeper. They have theology classes and things like that. I'm not addressing those. We haven't been at a Christian high school. Again, that would totally depend on the particular school. But at least at elementary and middle school level, this is the kind of classwork that usually you're looking at. And from what I found, there was very little sort of correction and direction in terms of what the kids were putting together. So for example, my kids, I would help them do their Bible skits at home, and we would talk about a verse that they were supposed to make a project about, and we would talk about, okay, let's look at the context in the Bible and let's see what this is about. But then most of the time when they would like share with me about what other kids in class were doing, a lot of times it really was inaccurate, actually. And it's not just that it wasn't deep, but it was inaccurate. So as an example, you know, you might have a verse that you're studying about endurance, when the Apostle Paul is talking about endurance. And you have kids who will come up with a skit about being in a soccer game and how they really had to endure until the end, and they all were excited when they could win the game. Totally taking this out of context. This has nothing to do with what Paul is talking about in the Bible. But teachers, by and large, were not in the business of correcting that and sort of trying to make the kids go deeper and push them into a certain direction in helping them understand, you know, let's think about this a little bit more deeply. That was always a challenge for me, is that as a parent, I was able to take what they were learning in school and hopefully push it into a biblical direction, but that's not always what you were hearing in the classroom. And so that is one concern that I had while we were there. So if you're considering a private school, I would suggest that you ask how much time is spent each week on the Bible subject and what kind of curriculum they use, just to get an idea of what they're using as their foundation. But be aware that whatever curriculum it is that they have and they say they're using doesn't mean it will actually be taught. So many of the years, my kids would come home at the end of the year and their Bible curriculum book would be just about completely blank. Maybe they did a few lessons at the very beginning and then that was it. And I would ask them, well, how does this happen? Why did you guys not do anything here? And they usually would tell me, well, because we had to have Bible pushed aside this week because we had this assembly, or we had to do science, or whatever the case was. And there were a couple of teachers who absolutely did make it through the curriculum, but that was not always the case. So I got the feeling that because Bible sort of came after math and science and the academic subjects, that it was something that was sort of the first thing to go if they were running out of time. And I'm guessing that this is something that probably happens in a lot of places. So all of that to say about the Bible class is don't expect a ton out of it, at least in the elementary and middle school levels. From my friends who are still in private school for middle school, it sounds to be a very similar thing. So just be aware of that. It's not a replacement for what you would be teaching your kids at home. A third thing you can expect is Bible connections woven into the other subjects. So this is actually a wonderful thing about Christian private school. It's not just the Bible class that your kids are getting. I hope I didn't sound overly negative about the Bible class. I just want to be realistic in explaining what you get there. But in a good school, the teachers will weave a biblical worldview into the different classes that they're getting. So it's not just, hey, we're going to talk about science now. It's let's talk about science and, oh, look how this is evidence of a designer. Look how this points to design and the intelligence behind the universe. It's looking at different subjects and themes and figuring out how we can tie this to a biblical worldview in all of our subjects, because Christianity is a worldview. Again, it's the way that we process all of reality. And so if that's the case, then a good Christian school is not just going to stick a Bible subject in the middle of the kids' week. They're going to weave this into all of their subjects. That sounds amazing, right? And it is an ideal. The reality of it is that, again, it depends on the teacher. And it depends on the training that the school gives to the teachers. That's an important distinction. I know that our school, for example, did trainings where they were specifically teaching the teachers how to go about doing this. So if you're considering a private school, a great question to ask is, how do they weave a biblical worldview into all the subjects, not just the Bible subject? And ask, do you do training for your teachers in this? How do you ensure that they're actually bringing this into the day-to-day lives of the kids at that school? Another thing that you can usually expect at a Christian school is some kind of chapel. So we had chapel once a week. That's what a lot of different schools do. We had lots of songs and fun singing. It was kind of a big community thing. It's basically like the church of the school. And each of the chapels was led by a different class. And so you'd have a class get up there and it was really sweet. They would sing the songs, lead the songs for the week, and they would do some kind of skit that was tied to the Bible verse. And then they usually would have some kind of a message from that. They take offering, they do some kind of philanthropy, and basically it's a time for the school to come together once a week and be a community. And it was great. They invited parents, and so I went to a lot of these. I just loved sitting with my kids. It's something that I actually miss a lot now that we're not there. And I really appreciated that time together. Again, this is not a substitute for church. It's not a substitute for their learning in any way. In fact, there were many times that I honestly had to cringe a bit at the skits that the kids would do because they weren't quite biblically accurate. Like I gave the example of the skits that kids were doing for their projects in class, the same thing would hold true in the actual assemblies when they would come together, that the skits and how they were portraying something just really wasn't quite accurate. You know, they would be talking about prayer, for example, and you would see that when you pray, something immediately happens, and you know that, and we know that we can trust God because that happened. And I'm sitting there in the pew going, no, we trust God because of who he is and his character, not because we have a prayer answered in the way that we hoped. So it's things like that that kind of got to me. But again, it's about your expectations. I'm going to come back and say more about expectations at the end here. Another thing you'll see is that there's a focus on character, and I know that public schools also stress this a lot. You know, there are always little paintings around the school on the wall that encourage kids to be courageous and honest and those kinds of things. At a Christian school, you'll have character awards and the same kinds of things, but they're usually tied to the Bible in some way. And so there might be, we had Christian character awards, for example, that would be focused on someone in class who demonstrated a Christian character. So that's nice because it's tying it back to not just good values in general, but values as they're tied to our biblical worldview. The last thing I would say in terms of what to expect and in something that is wonderful is Christian teachers. Now, I want you to think about all the people you know who would identify themselves as Christians. I want you to think about how varied they are in terms of what they believe and how mature they are in their walk and all the things that go along with being a Christian. I want you to apply that same thing to teachers because, of course, that's going to be the case. Just because they're teaching a Christian school doesn't necessarily mean anything about their faith in particular. So you'll want to ask, do the teachers here sign a statement of faith? What does that look like to understand what you have to believe or at least say that you believe in order to teach there? So that's important. But it's even if every teacher is not exactly on the same page, that's unrealistic when we're talking about any kind of a spiritual life. But even so, it's a wonderful thing to know that your kids have teachers who share your worldview, at least to hopefully to a wide degree. And that is something that I can't kind of overestimate the value of, because I hear so many stories from families who have kids in public school and the kinds of things they hear and the active opposition to their kids' worldview that come from teachers a lot of times. And that is something that you likely will not experience in a Christian school. Of course, there are always going to be exceptions to that. But overall, you will have Christian teachers, and that is a wonderful thing. So having said what to expect, I do want to mention a handful of things about what not to expect. And I say this because I think a lot of people, this includes myself going into it, and it includes people I've talked to who came from other schools into a private school, a lot of people have the wrong expectations. And so I want to make sure if you're considering private school that these are not in place for you. The first thing is, don't expect the families who attend are all Christian. Now, schools have different policies on this. Sometimes a school will say that at least one parent has to sign a statement of faith saying that they believe certain things, that they're a Christian according to some given statement. So in that case, you can be assured that at least one parent in every family has a Christian worldview, or at least identifies themselves as a Christian based on a statement of faith. Other schools see what they're doing as more of a mission. They don't necessarily say you have to be Christian to attend there. They might have other rules in place that you'll follow the handbook, and that you're not going to actively oppose the kind of Christian education that they have, but that you don't necessarily have to identify as a Christian to be there. Depending on which type of school you're looking at, you're going to have some implications of that. And the school that we were at actually changed that policy in the last few years. And so those are things to be aware of. Ask your school that you're considering what their policy is on that. Because the more non-Christian families that you have coming into the school, the more you're going to have a lot of different types of discussions in the classroom, different experiences on the playground, things like that. Not to say that's a bad thing. Our kids can learn a lot from those experiences. It can actually be really good. I'm not opposed to that at all. I'm just saying it's something that you should understand before you come into the school. Find out what that policy looks like for the one you're considering. Another thing not to expect is that even the families who are there as Christian families will take their faith as seriously as you do. There are plenty of families that send their kids to a Christian school, not because they are passionate followers of Jesus who want to take every single opportunity they can in order to have their kids learn the biblical worldview. They're probably there a lot of times just because there are smaller class sizes. They want their kids to maybe have good values. They might not be as deep in their faith as you would hope. And that also colors the discussions that your kids have at school, and it colors the kinds of conversations you will end up having with your kids, even more so than the conversations that your kids have with non-believers, because it can be quite confusing. And we had this happen over and over again in the last few years when your kids are like, but I'm at a Christian school and my friends are saying this and doing this and their families are Christian, so what's going on? And that's a really good learning opportunity, actually. And I loved having those conversations, but they are important conversations that will have to be had even if your kids are in a Christian school. So it's something to be aware of. Another thing not to expect is that the kids will necessarily be better behaved. I think that this was a big learning point for me. I think I naively started off with my kids, my very young kids, going to preschool and kindergarten and so on at a Christian school, thinking, well, these kids are coming from Christian families who are, raising their kids to love the Lord, so they're surely going to be better behaved. Well, okay, now the parent in me looking back is like, that is so naive, because even if you have a wonderful Christian family that is doing absolutely everything they can to raise their kids to know and love the Lord, their kids are humans and they're kids, and kids are not necessarily going to even reflect the faith of their parents and what their parents do. As we all know, our kids can do all kinds of things that we are like, oh my gosh, I haven't raised you to be like this. I mean, I experience this all the time, and I'm sure all of you have. So it's important to know behavior is not necessarily going to be different in significant ways. We had plenty of issues out on the playground. We had bullying. We've had mean girls. We've had boys saying terrible things. We've experienced all kinds of stuff. I can't compare that to a public school. I know that I've heard a lot of horrible stories from public school too, but they don't necessarily go away just because you're at a Christian school. So be aware of that. Something else not to expect is that you never have to sort of look over the shoulder of your kids and understand what they're learning about. On multiple occasions, things had happened in my kids' classes where they picked up books that I didn't think that they should be reading at a Christian school, for example. And I had to be that mom who would, you know, kind of raise the hand for attention and say, hey, I don't think the kids should be doing this. And I mean, that started in first grade when there was a book that had words in it that I just didn't feel were appropriate for a first grader. So I regularly was overseeing the material that they were using and what they were learning. I was really actively involved in that. And there were a lot of things that I caught over time. So you still have to be actively engaged with your kids' education, no matter, you know, where you have them attend school. And finally, what not to expect is that your kids will have a Christian curriculum. This is something that I had no thoughts about. I had no understanding of until we started looking into homeschool. I don't have an education background at all. So this just was not on my radar. I literally had never thought about what curriculum was being chosen for things like science and math and language arts, all these things. It just didn't occur to me to ask. And then when I started learning about curriculum because I was going to be homeschooling, I started learning about all these things. And then I was like, gosh, how do I not know what curriculum has been used for my kids already? So then I start looking at all their books and I start looking at what they're going to be doing in middle school with the curriculum before we had chosen to homeschool. And I realized that our school actually didn't use Christian curriculum. It was all secular curriculum except for the Bible class. A lot of schools are like that. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. So I'm not here to say that you shouldn't consider a school if it doesn't have a Christian curriculum, but it is something to consider, especially if you have multiple private school options that you're looking at. It's something to consider. And when I say consider, it doesn't mean that there's an obvious choice there. So some of the Christian curriculum is not necessarily the best academically. It's not necessarily the best quality. And so it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best choice to be using Christian curriculum in certain areas. It just depends on which Christian curriculum is being used. If you're using a secular curriculum for something, say that you're using secular science curriculum, well, are the teachers trained to be able to talk about the worldview issues and pull those out on top of it? If they're not, you're getting less of that Christian worldview worked in than you might have thought, because they're just learning the same secular science that everyone else is. And if a teacher is not trained on the types of worldview issues to pull into it, they're really not getting a lot out of that they wouldn't get somewhere else. So it just depends on how the school handles it. It's not a black and white, you should always use Christian curriculum or you should never use Christian curriculum. It's just something to be aware of and to ask if you're considering a Christian school. Just briefly, because I don't want this to go too much longer on the private schools, in terms of academics, smaller class sizes, absolutely, that's a huge benefit. After having been in private school all these years, I can't even imagine my kids having the large class sizes that you see in some public schools. It's a huge benefit academically. There are a lot of specialty classes that you may or may not have in public school, things like we had Spanish and drama and band and art and all of these kinds of things that are wonderful for enrichment. And some private schools will have a resource teacher for extra help academically, as well as for gifted students. But unless it's a bigger kind of Christian school, they will probably be targeted at the average age, rather the average grade level. So that's just something to be considerate of if you have students who are on either end of that spectrum needing extra enrichment or extra help, is what can the school offer in those areas. So that was a lot of detail, but just pulling it up to the high level, in summary, I'd say this. A lot of people choose Christian schools for the wrong reasons. A Christian school is not an alternative to taking the time to train up your kids the way they should go. I would honestly see it more as a support system, given what you're already doing at home. Now, don't get me wrong, that's an amazing benefit. I have not meant to sound negative whatsoever about Christian schools, but rather just realistic. I think I had unrealistic expectations going in. And looking back, we had some truly great years there. And there's actually a good chance that we'll be sending our youngest back next year. And I'll explain why in a little bit. But if you're considering moving from public school and you can't do homeschool, that's not a consideration. This can be an amazing, wonderful, great option if it's a biblically solid school. Instead of having to do some of the retraining that's necessary when kids encounter curriculum and people that explicitly oppose their worldview in a public setting, which happens a lot and it's happening more and more, you will have anything from neutral support to potentially excellent support depending on the school. So whatever you're considering in terms of a Christian school, just do your homework. And I hope that this has been helpful to give you some of the ideas or the questions to ask as you go there. All right, so homeschool. Let's transition to the homeschool subject now. Gosh, I have so many things to say here. Just like with private school, homeschool can mean a lot of different things. You can homeschool through your public school system. You can homeschool entirely online. You can homeschool through a formal program that meets together regularly, like the Popular Classical Conversations group. You can homeschool completely on your own. So because of that, the homeschooling experience is vastly different for different families. What we're doing is everything completely on our own. So when I went into homeschooling, I really wanted the benefits of full customization of everything that we were going to do, because to me, that was the heart of homeschooling. I wanted to pick everything and I wanted to do everything that was just perfectly tailored for my own kids, for our own family. And so I didn't want to take government money. I didn't want to have oversight from the public school system. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that at all. It just wasn't what we wanted. So we're doing everything all on our own. Why did we decide to homeschool? Just really briefly to touch on this. Like I said earlier, for me, it was about pouring into the kids academically and spiritually, specifically during the middle school period. We are actually planning, and we always were, to send our kids back to a private school, which will be a different school than they've been at, for high school. We have a really wonderful private Christian high school that's nearby that a lot of the kids' friends will go on to that they've already been in school with. And that is our plan for them to do that. It's part of what we wanted to do to prepare them for college. That's not to say that you cannot be prepared for college if you're doing homeschool. It's just the way that we envision our kids' education going. If we absolutely feel differently because we have fallen in love with homeschooling and the kids want to continue homeschool at that part, it's something we definitely would consider. For right now, that is our plan, that they'll go on to a private Christian high school. If anyone is really interested in why we decided to do homeschool, I wrote a blog post last year in April, before we started homeschooling actually, called 8 Things Christian Parents Should Consider Before Sending Kids Back to Public or Private School This Fall. I will put a link to that in the show notes. You can read more of my reasoning there. I don't want to take up too much time this episode with my personal rationale, because you have your own reasons for considering it, and I'd rather help you along with making those kinds of decisions rather than speak more to why I'm doing it. But suffice it to say that I saw middle school, and my husband saw middle school, as a very special time for the kids in their lives between elementary and high school, and we just wanted to give them all we could in that time to best prepare them. So I want to share with you several things that we have loved about homeschool, so things that I think are huge benefits to consider, and then I'm going to share with you some of our transition challenges, the things that have been difficult and on some days really, really hard. And so I hope this gives you an idea of what it's been like, again, from a very new homeschooler. I am no expert, and I actually fear a little bit about talking about this because I feel like I'm going to get 10,000 emails from experienced homeschoolers telling me how to fix all of the problems and the challenges. I know there are so many fixes and so many things that come with the experience. So this is more just sharing the experience of what it's like, not so much saying that there's no fix for it. So With that in mind, what we've loved, number one, so much less stress. Maybe that's a funny thing to come out with first, but it really, when I sat down to think about this, I was like, that is one of the biggest benefits of it. We're not rushing out the door in the morning. We're not trying to figure out what's going on at school all the time and what kind of assignment did the teacher give and did you leave your homework at school, all those things. And I'm not even one of those homeschool parents who just goes with the flow during the day according to what kids want to do at any given time. I know that there are a lot of parents like that. That is so not me. I'm so type A. I know that's a giant shock. I'm so type A. My kids are required to be in the living room at 8:30 every day, very promptly. If it's like 8:31, I'm looking at my watch and I'm like, where were you? It's 8:31. I expect promptness. They've got to be there with their Bible journal in hand for devotional time. But even so, the environment's just completely different. Sometimes we're in our pajamas there. We can turn on the fireplace when it's cold outside. We can have morning coffee, whatever, or at least I can have morning coffee. And it's just so much less stressful and a beautiful, really just a beautiful start to the day. We pray together. We do a devotional. We watch something that I highly recommend called World Watch News. It is amazing. It's like $10 a month and it is worth it. Many times over, it's news from a Christian perspective, not necessarily all Christian news, but just there are Christian overtones to it, I guess is the best way to say it. Sometimes it is explicit and other times it's more implicit, but it's wonderful. So I just love starting the day in that way. Another thing I love, and this is just so obvious, but spending all day with my kids. Now, I usually love this. Let me make that clarification. I am a huge introvert. I mean, just classic introvert. There's like only 1% of me on the scale that's an extrovert. I am all introvert. So this has been a big adjustment. And if you can relate to being an introvert who needs a lot of time alone, it is an adjustment to be with your kids all day. I will tell you that straight up. But quite honestly, I felt guilty dropping my kids off at school every day. Not because it's a bad thing in any way, but just because I felt like I wanted to be so much more a part of their education. It just felt like that was who I was meant to be in part. And that's not going to be true for everyone. Not everyone has that feeling. And I'm not saying everyone should have that feeling. I'm just saying that that's how it was for me. I really wanted to be with them. I love knowing that I am giving them absolutely everything I can in the world to give them an amazing education. And so I no longer feel like I'm missing out on that. And that's something that if you go read that blog post that I mentioned where I talk more about my decision, I really did feel that strongly that I was missing out on so much of their lives by dropping them off at school every day. And I no longer feel that. So that is wonderful because now I am right there with them and I'm pouring into them and I can see how much they have been growing from the homeschool experience. So I don't want to make it sound like it's all to benefit me. Of course, there's a benefit to me as the parent who's loving that, but also to my kids who are benefiting from the things that we do. That brings me to the third thing, which is our homeschool discussions. This is just, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, there are certain what I call commodity subjects. I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately. These are more of the fact kinds of things like math, for example, and to some degree, science. These are things that I think you're going to learn basically whether you're in homeschool or you are in a private school, or you're in a public school. These are just the things that you're going to learn very factually. But when you get to the subjects that are outside of those strictly fact-based things, where you can discuss and think and really get deep, that's what delights my heart. So we're talking about things like history and literature and logic and Bible and worldview and just all of these subjects where we get to go deeper and it's not just let's sit down and learn certain facts. This is where the benefits of homeschool really just shine. There's nothing greater than getting to dig into these subjects in a setting where your kids just expect to sit and talk because it's school. And honestly, I don't know if it's like that for parents who have had kids in homeschool all along. I assume it is. Maybe not so much. But if your kids are coming from a traditional school setting and they see school as school, then you get the benefit of them knowing that, okay, this is part of school. We're now going to talk about logic or history or whatever it is. And you sort of have this captive audience for lack of a better term. So that is just a wonderful part of school. And I see them learning so much. And they have told me, when we talk about how homeschool is going and things like that, they have told me how much they're getting out of it. They unanimously say, all three kids, even the fourth grader, all say that they're learning vastly more in homeschool than they did in private school, specifically because of the discussions that we have. And that's not a knock on private school or public school or anything like that, but rather it's a benefit of having the environment that's fostered by homeschool. So those discussions where you get those little brains thinking and you get to have these rich conversations and tie it back to a biblical worldview and just everything that we do around that, it's what delights my heart. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice the way I'm describing it, but it makes it worth everything to me. Really, really worth everything is these discussions. The fourth thing that I would say that I have loved just from a purely academic perspective is the customization that you can do. You get to see where your kids' interests and their strengths are, where they need to improve, and then you act accordingly. You figure it out as you go. I'm so structured. I'm so analytical and type A, like I said, but I have learned, amazingly, to be more flexible and to see when it's a better thing for me to go away from the curriculum and say, you know, you were interested in this philosopher over here that we talked about in ancient Greece. So why don't you use that as your writing assignment and go learn more about him? That's so great because it instills this love of learning in your kids. Or my son, for example, he's taking a Python programming class because he loves coding. That is just his passion. And he's also taking a computer science class. On the other hand, he absolutely hates math. And I mean, he hates it. We have to battle over math every morning. It's a low point for me in the day. But when we were learning about greatest common factors in sixth grade math, he suddenly asked, you know what? Can I do a program? Can I write a program to figure these out? I was like, absolutely. So he wrote a program using the Python coding language to figure out greatest common factors. And he learned the math in doing that. So that's just a great example of how you can customize. And then my daughter wanted to learn French, so we're doing French. It's not like at a traditional school where you have to take whatever's being offered to you. My mom is from France, and I can kind of speak French, so I know enough that I can help her with that one, fortunately. I'm glad it wasn't a super random language that I couldn't help with. But I tie the writing assignments a lot of times to what we're doing in the various classes. So in earth science, when we're studying astronomy, for example, I tied it to apologetics that week, and we jumped over to a different book to talk about the fine-tuning of the universe, and then I had them write a response to a skeptic on that specific topic. So you can just tie all these things together in all of your subjects, and it's just really exciting to see how the light bulbs go off. And the last thing that I would mention that's been really important in terms of what I love, and I could go on and on, there are lots more things that I love, but it's reclaiming free time. This was something that I anticipated in the post that I wrote last year as one of the reasons that I wanted to do homeschool. I thought it would be great, and it absolutely has been wonderful. They don't have homework. Their friends in a traditional school all have homework for often hours in the evening. My kids are done with school by 2 o'clock, and we have studied all kinds of amazing things by that time, and then they're free. And I love that because I'm not a fan of homework personally. I know that there's a role for it in a lot of cases, but we have been able to accomplish everything that I feel we need to accomplish during the day. So at night, they get to do the things that they want to do. They get to go do the sports that they're involved in. They get to do the practice of instruments that they're doing. They get to do all the things that they want to do. And I love that for my kids. So this is sort of my glowing review of what I have loved in homeschool, or at least the biggest things that I have loved. Truly, I could say a lot of other things, but there have been a lot of challenges with it, and specifically transition challenges. Coming from a traditional school setting and going into homeschool has some unique challenges to it. So I'm going to share with you very honestly what those have been. You might face very different challenges depending on you, depending on your kids' personalities, depending on why you're leaving a traditional setting. So these may or may not apply to you, but I'm just going to give you an idea of the kinds of things that we've seen because they might help prepare you if this is something that you're considering. The first one, and I would say this is number one, the biggest thing. If your kids have been in a traditional setting for a while, it almost surely will be a big adjustment to not be around other kids all day. unless your kids are desperate to get away from a social situation so that it's just a complete relief to be out of there, this is hard. And early on, I was killing myself to set up individual play dates for each of my kids every week to make sure that they were each getting a certain amount of social time. And it was overwhelming. I was constantly trying to shuffle kids around and figure out how to do this. And I had to eventually accept that you cannot just replicate the same environment in homeschool, unless you're just enrolling them in certain classes and practically putting them back in to that traditional school setting. You can't. You just can't replicate it. Homeschool is a different kind of environment. So rather than trying to make it the same as it was, I've had to learn that in terms of the social aspects, it's quality over quantity. So my kids might not be around other kids all day long like they have been for the last few years, but I can help them to build quality, deeper relationships with kids by making sure that I am providing those opportunities to be with their friends on a regular basis. It's not as much, but it's deeper in quality, and that's what I'm working on. My daughter, who is an introvert for sure, even she says that she misses being around people. And I get a little, honestly, I've been defensive about this and I've had to really check myself in it because I feel like, you know, am I not doing enough? Here I am. I'm doing all of homeschool and I'm doing all these play dates and you still miss being around people. We just had a play date. What do you mean? It's hard to hear, but at the same time, even though she's an introvert, she misses something about just being at school every day and being around other kids. And so we've had a lot of conversations about trade-offs that it's okay to feel that way. And I had to get to a point where I accepted that because I was the one who was doing the homeschooling. I wanted everything to be perfect. I wanted there to be no complaints. I wanted there to be no sadness because I wanted it to be this amazing, special thing. But that's unrealistic. There are going to be things that your kids miss from a traditional school setting. That's okay. It's really okay because everything in life is a trade-off. And so we've had good conversations about that. It still comes up. It still makes me sad sometimes when I hear it. But at the same time, I just have to understand that even though she misses that, she still wants to continue homeschooling. So it's a trade-off that she's willing to make for the benefits that she's getting. It is something to think about, though, and to make sure that you are finding plenty of opportunities for your kids to socialize with others. We, unfortunately, are doing this in a pretty tough time because of the pandemic and everything that was happening there. So we had joined a homeschool group and the group really doesn't do much because of everything that's happened. So that's been a bit difficult also. In normal times, there are usually a lot of homeschool groups around. So you just have to find ones that you can plug into. I would suggest that if you're considering homeschooling, that you go ahead and look into the groups that are in your area, whether they are a co-op of some kind, or maybe it's just an additional class that your kids take with some others. Maybe it's some kind of extracurricular activity, whatever it is, have an idea in mind, I'd say, in terms of what you're going to do socially. And it might not end up that that's the thing that you do. I thought that this homeschool co-op group that we're part of, I thought that this would be kind of the single solution to everything before we started homeschooling. And it's been really not a solution for anything other than that they submit our paperwork. And so that's a wonderful thing, but socially it hasn't really been helpful to us. We haven't met any homeschoolers really through it. So just do some homework to find what kind of social opportunities you think would be helpful for your kids. Another thing that has been somewhat significant challenge, more so at the beginning than it is now, but something worth mentioning, is the difference between curricula when you're talking about the curricula that are produced by homeschool publishers versus traditional curricula that your kids are used to in a school setting. So that was a big mouthful. Let me explain. When I was looking for curricula and I was deciding on what we were going to use, some of them I picked traditional non-Christian homeschool publisher curricula, and some I picked that were homeschool specific. And I have to say that most homeschool curricula, not all, but a lot of it, if not most, is structured really differently than how kids are used to seeing stuff in a traditional setting. And you can find some more traditional homeschool publishers for sure, but a lot of them will look less like what your kids are used to seeing in traditional school. And when you give them this, they might look at you like you have three heads. So I'll give you a very practical example of this. When we first started our curriculum, and we're using something called Sunlight for a lot of what we're doing. And when we were first using the language arts component of this, one of the things that they had you do was what's called dictation. This isn't something at least that my kids had ever done in a school setting, and this is not something I ever did personally growing up in public school. So dictation is basically where you as the teacher read something and the kids are supposed to be able to write it down, and it helps them kind of process how to do the punctuation and all those kinds of things. So we started doing this and my kids were like, what on earth are we doing? Dictation? You're reading something and then I'm supposed to write it? And to be perfectly honest, I didn't really see the value in it. My kids didn't see the value in it. And it was kind of a struggle at first because I just thought, well, this is what we're supposed to do. And I told them, you know, homeschool curricula is designed differently and there's a lot of great rationale for it, even though I didn't really know it for the dictation part of it. One of the best days of my homeschool life was when my friend Christina set me free from thinking that I had to keep doing this just because other homeschoolers do it. It was just this moment of pure joy of saying, oh, you didn't do the dictation stuff either? This is amazing. And we stopped the dictation. So that's a really specific example, but there are a lot of little things like that that you'll see in homeschool-based curricula that you're just not used to that you may or may not find value with. And please don't send me a bunch of emails about the value of dictation. We are over dictation. It's okay. My kids might be missing out, but I'm okay with that. So having been in a traditional school setting my whole life and having had my kids there, I have to say I prefer the traditional curricula, and that might just be because that's what I'm used to. So it's been ingrained in me from that years of that in traditional school. But if you're transitioning, it's probably ingrained in you too. So it's important to consider what kind of curricula you're using. And some of these are produced, there are just tons and tons of options for it, but some are produced by very, very small publishers, and it just doesn't have the same, it's more of a mom and pop feel, and it doesn't have the same quality to it in a lot of cases, and not necessarily the same academic rigor. There are other curricula that are produced for homeschoolers that are really fabulous. So it's just, it really varies, but it's something that you should be aware of, just the difference between the curricula that is produced specifically for homeschoolers versus something you would find in a school system. A third transition challenge that we have had, and this is going to sound kind of random, but my daughter in particular has complained about there not being enough variety in homeschool. Now, experienced homeschoolers everywhere listening to this are going, oh my gosh, homeschool has all the variety because you can do literally anything. And if your kids don't feel like there's variety, you're doing it wrong. Okay, so there's probably truth to me being overly structured about my approach for sure. But what my daughter means about this as I started probing into this is just in terms of the social variety and the activity variety at school. So she's talking about things like, you know, it's interesting to her that on a given day, you know, she's hearing what happened with some kid in class, or that, you know, she's talking to different people, or different things happen at school, or maybe there's an assembly here and the next week you're doing this jump rope competition. There's just a lot more stuff that's going on around. And so it's not necessarily in terms of going places. Homeschoolers can go all kinds of places and field trips and all this stuff in a non-pandemic world, but it's more just the type of variety that she was used to. If you had never had these things, then you wouldn't expect them. But when your kids have been in a traditional school setting, they do, and it becomes a reference point. Something else that's been really interesting is I have found it has been hard for my kids to really focus a lot of times during those amazing discussions I talked about. Maybe you're picturing that your kids are just magically sitting there engaging in deep conversation about Socrates, but it doesn't always look that clean, and just being very honest about this. And when I was talking to my daughter one day about this, because she's literally a lot of times just sitting there kind of bouncing in the chair, or, you know, trying to fidget with something, she very honestly and insightfully told me, look, in school, I've had years of just sitting there where I was drawing because the teacher was having to deal with behavior problems, or what we were doing was so easy all the time that I really didn't have to think. She was used to not having anything. She's very bright, and she really didn't have to pay much attention in school. And now she's expected to focus really directly in a deep conversation for a somewhat extended period of time. So that has been an interesting transition challenge as well, just to see how kids are used to not really having to focus a lot of times because there's so much distraction in school. One transition factor that I have to mention is, and this is, I'm sure, is not actually specific to transition, but to all homeschoolers, sibling factors. This is the death of me. This is the death of me. And this was my concern going into it, that my fourth grader argues a lot with my sixth graders. And so there are constant interruptions from the siblings fighting. It's always the sixth graders versus the fourth grader. And so that's been an enormous challenge. It's one of the reasons that I'm planning to send her back, most likely to school in the fall. There are other personal factors that go into that, but a huge part of it is just the disruption that comes from the sibling issues. And so if you have those things that are already going on in your family, homeschool will likely bring out more of that because your kids are together all day long. So it is a consideration. I know this is getting long, so I just want to give you two more things, and hopefully this will be helpful to you. Another challenge is expecting that kids will give your homeschool the same respect as they'll give the teacher that they've had in a traditional school setting. So my kids have always been really, really, really well behaved in school, with a couple of exceptions, but overall, absolutely no issues on that front. So what do I expect? I expect that my kids are going to come to my homeschool and be the same little angels that they are at school. No, that is not what happens. I have sixth graders, 12-year-olds, who think it's funny to crawl around under the dining room table while we are having these amazing discussions. They're crawling around, they're throwing a pencil at their little sister. All these things are going on, and I just keep looking at them and saying, don't you realize you wouldn't do this if you were at school, in a traditional school setting? So why are you doing it here? And it makes me absolutely crazy. But the reality is, it's not the same environment. And as every experienced homeschooler will tell you, you're not recreating school at home. Homeschool is not just school done in a home environment. It looks completely different. And so how you accommodate that fact, how you adapt to it, is going to be different for every family, different for every parent, different for the kids. It just depends on you. I still have not mastered how to not get my kids to crawl around and think it's really funny, but we're getting there, and we are having those amazing discussions. On a final note of a transition challenge, I would say that as a parent, when you are going from having your kids in school every day to teaching them and giving everything you've got and spending hours planning and just doing all that you're doing, it is really easy to fall into an attitude of, I'm giving you a lot, so you better be grateful. And I do this a lot myself, and it can lead to a lot of bitterness, to be honest, because when your kids are crawling around or doing whatever it is that they're doing, you can be really tempted to say, you know what? Okay, fine. I give up. You just go back to school. And I have threatened many times, unfortunately, to send my kids back to school because I know they like homeschool. And so it's kind of the threat. You can't get up off the floor. Okay, you're going to go back to school. But I think that it's important, and I'm trying to reel myself back in on this and have the better attitude of, yes, I am giving a lot, but it's because I know it's the best for you. And your kids are not going to be as grateful as you think they will be, or as grateful as they should be, given what you're putting into it. And if you can go into it with that understanding and not expecting too much of what they're going to do in response, I think you're going to be a much happier homeschool parent. So I'm working on that myself, but I hope that's helpful as you go into it. I'll wrap up with just a couple of comments of comparison. If you're currently in public school and you're considering moving to either private or homeschool, I think that's a really wise consideration. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to decide on one of those two options, but I think it's very good to not just default to whatever you've always thought that you would do. And for a lot of parents, that is the public school system. So if you're starting to think outside the box a bit and you're starting to ask yourself, you know, is this the best place for my kids? I need to look into other options. I think that's fantastic, and I think every single Christian parent should give it that consideration, not necessarily decide something different, but at least give it consideration, because this is too important for us not to think deeply about. There are a lot of legitimate concerns about public schools, and I do believe that the situation is going to get worse. I know a lot of parents think that they're fine in a given district because maybe things don't seem to be quote-unquote too bad yet, but policies and curricula are changing quickly everywhere. And I've actually found in talking with a lot of public school parents that they're not even aware of some of the things already happening in their schools. So as I said earlier, that's a whole other episode, but I just want to say that I think every parent who can give consideration to other options should. Now, not everyone is able to consider other options, and that's okay. It's just critical to be really engaged in what's going on with your child's education, whether you're in public or private. Private school is not a pass to not concern yourself with what happens in your child's education. As I talked about earlier, no matter where they are, you're going to need to be hands-on and know what's going on. So however you're currently schooling, if you're deciding between private school and homeschool, the right choice for your family will just depend on your family. I hate to make it that broad, but I hope that you can see how many different factors go into this. It frustrates me greatly when homeschoolers sometimes make it sound as though homeschool is automatically the right choice for everyone. If homeschooling, for example, would stretch you so thin in finances and time that you're stressed out every day, bitter at the kids, not wanting to put further into it, and you're just hating life, it's not worth it, or at least it may not be worth it. That said, if homeschooling is truly on your heart, there are all kinds of ways to be flexible with how you do it so that you might be able to work it out in a different manner. So do your research, look at different opportunities, and if it's something that you are passionate about and you're just wondering, how can I make it work, know there are lots of opportunities for you to do so. I hope this has been helpful. I feel like I could just go on talking and talking about this forever because there are so many things to consider, but I won't. I'm going to get it off here. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk with you soon.